Welcome to Tribal Leaders. My name is Kurt Provost, and I get to introduce you to leaders from around the world who have earned more than $1 million in income from their Nu Skin business. The guest that we have on the show today, we're very lucky to have him because he's just about to head out to Colombia for a business trip. So we got just in the nick of time. It is Leif Edmonds, who is a $1 million circle earner, a blue diamond, Nourish the Children ambassador, father of five and grandfather of six. So you're multiplying out there, Leif, and calling in from the beautiful Mapleton in Utah. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Yeah, great to be here with you, Kurt. And yeah, it's about duplication, right? So we've got more grandkids than kids now. It's working.
I love it. That's the ultimate goal there. So you're doing it well. So if you could just kick things off with, what was your world like prior to Nu Skin? What were you doing and how did you come to this business?
Yeah, so I spent 15 years in the computer software industry. I went to Brigham Young University here in Utah. I grew up in California, and I went to BYU, they call it, here in Utah, and got a master's degree in information systems, technology, and accounting, believe it or not. And then went to work for, at the time, there were eight large accounting firms. The one I worked with was called Ernst & Young. They knocked it down to the big six firms, and I worked with them for 5 years in downtown Los Angeles. And my wife and I, when I graduated from college, we had 1.5 kids already. So we were looking to, you know, get into the career, make some money, establish ourselves and everything else. And I spent 15 years, 5 years working for Ernst & Young, and then another 10 years working in the computer software industry. The last five of those years, I was the vice president of Latin America for a British software company. And yeah, the company was out of London, and I lived in Utah, and my boss lived, I think, in Boston. So, I covered Latin America. So it was kind of, satellite and spread out before the whole world was kind of like that. And it was great. It was wonderful, except for, I mean, we made good money and everything, but I didn't, I was gone so much. I was gone 80% of the time with that kind of international travel and having to be on site. We didn't have as many capabilities with video conferencing and things like that like we do today. Yeah. And you really had to be there. And so I, that was the one thing that was just kind of bugging me. I was gone so much. We didn't have, FaceTime or anything to be with the kids. It was just basically on a phone, and kids don't want to talk to you on a phone. And I felt like I was, losing that time with my kids. And basically the whole reason that I went through college, got the degree, worked my way with the corporate ladder and everything was to provide, a lifestyle for our family. And the lifestyle was okay, but it didn't include me, And so I was looking for something without knowing what I was looking for. A year after 9/11, the software industry was really in turmoil, and my company decided to pull out of Latin America and decided to let go myself and my team that was working throughout Latin America. And they gave me a 45-day pay. It was 90 days, but it was half compensation. So it was basically 45 days of what I was used to making. And never been through that before that. And it was crazy. It was heart-wrenching, frankly. And I was not sure what I was going to do, because to get another job doing similar to what I was doing or less, whatever was available at the time, because the industry was really down, I, if I could find a job, I would make about half of what I was making. So I had 45 days pay, and then the prospect of making half at Target, working really hard, of what I was making before. And the interesting thing is that where I live in Mapleton, Utah, we're 15 miles away from Nu Skin headquarters. I knew nothing about Nu Skin. There were a couple people in my neighborhood who looked like they maybe owned Nu Skin or something. I knew they did something with Nu Skin. I didn't know what it was all about. And one of them, you would know the name. The other, you probably would never know the name. They're both multi-million dollar circle members. One is Jeff Mack. He's my direct sponsor. And
no way. Jeff Mack's your sponsor. We've had him on the show. He's awesome.
Yeah, he told me. Yeah. And so He talked to me 16 years. I was let go from my company 16 years ago this month. And within a few weeks, Jeff talked to me about the business. I went to the first convention as a guest. I'm like lots of people. I wanted to go, but I didn't want to go, you know. It's like I was going to go from selling process automation software systems that sell for, you know, $500,000 to $1 million just for the software at each installation, to talking to my neighbors about antioxidants and free radicals. It was quite a different spiel for me. And
yeah.
So, but I had seen these two neighbors. Jeff was one of them, and I'd seen these two neighbors and their lifestyle, and that's what kept me intrigued. And so I wanted to go, but I didn't want to go to the convention. Jeff called me the morning of and said, "Hey, I got a guest pass for you. Go by the house and get it." He was already up in Salt Lake, and so I did. And the guest pass was actually his wife's pass. So I went to my first convention with a pass that said Liz Mack, Team Elite. And that's how I walked in. People were giving me crazy looks because I don't think they thought it was Liz Mack. So anyway.
Oh, that's brilliant. And what happened at that convention?
Well, it was 6 months before the launch of the biophotonic scanner in the United States, or probably worldwide. And it was a global convention. You know, we have them every other year. It was a global convention. And the thing that just jumped out at me, there were not many Americans there. The Americans who were there were the ones who had been in the business for a while and had the international business. So there was like nothing going on in the U.S. really, and you could tell from the audience. But the crowds, the speakers, everyone was just on fire. New Skin was growing, and the projections were they were going to grow bigger and bigger. At the time, they were doing about $800 million in annual revenue, which is about, you know, a third of what they're doing right now. So it's grown three times since then. And by the end of this year, it'll be closer to four times. And, you know, I could just see that there were good things happening. And I still had to wrestle with, okay, what does that mean for me? You know, again, out of the box, I want what these guys have. Am I willing to do that? You know, and not only that, but kind of throw away, not really throw away, but kind of put in a corner what I'd been doing for 15 years with, you know, master's degree, 15 years experience and everything else, kind of say, okay, I'm going to take this other path for a little while or longer, which it has been. And so, you know, that's what we decided to do. And shortly after that convention, we registered. People kind of know me in the U.S. for my story that I talked to a lot of people and got a lot of no's when I first started at. The number was something like 42 people told me no. And, you know, I mean, I was out of work software executive calling them up and asking them if they were interested in hearing more about a blue laser scanner and, you know, that measures antioxidants, which I knew nothing even really what antioxidants were about. And, you know, we had these great vitamin packs called Life Pack, you know. So I wasn't really too good at inviting. I wasn't really confident. I didn't really understand what I was doing, but I just kind of hung in there. And the 43rd guy I talked to was a guy that I'd gone to school with in Hawaii 20 years earlier. His name was Arthur. And anyone who knows Arthur, he's amazing. He's an amazing guy. He's kind of like that Asian Tasmanian devil. And he said, yeah, this looks good. He had gone to the U.S. government patent website and checked out the patents. I didn't even know that the thing had patents, the scanner. And he said, yeah, let's do this. And so, you know, that was number 43, and I could have stopped anywhere along the way, but you know my situation. I was looking at, 45 days of pay, the prospect of working for half of what I was used to working with, or you know, getting trained by someone who had made millions of dollars already. And I flew to Hawaii. We worked like crazy for 7 days, created enough volume to get to executive in those 7 days. And then, you know, the next month made about half of what I was used to making, which was pretty good money just in my New Skin business. So, you know, for a 5-week period from people saying no, 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 to one guy saying yes, and then going to work with him, it changed our world. It really did. And that's, we did a training here in Utah today, and I was just saying that, you know, without that, I wouldn't be in New Skin probably now. I wouldn't be in the $1 million circle. You know, I don't know where I'd be. I'd probably be working another software job or something like that at this point. But, you know, luckily I had a big, huge why, because we had 5 kids, we had house payments, car payments, everything else, and I had to make money. I had to focus on making money. And so I just kept talking to people, and number 43 was the key. And I still, that leg that started in Hawaii, you know, it's been paying us for 16 years. We've obviously got other legs going since then that have made actually more, but that leg, you know, that what we did in those first, that first week and then the first 5 weeks, we still get paid on that on a monthly basis. And
you know,
weekly basis.
That story is just perfect to demonstrate the power of this business, because it's so many people, I see it so often, that they give up after like 2 no's, 3 no's, because rejection is uncomfortable, and I totally get that. I don't know anyone who likes it. But that story is so powerful, because you went through what most people would never go through. Most people would have stopped after, you know, the 10th or so, if they got that far. And I remember that's the question I asked you when we met in Chile years ago. After hearing you mention that story, I was like, how did you go through 42 no's? And it's exactly what you just said. It's like you had 5 kids to feed. You had the prospect of going to work somewhere else if you could find a job for half the pay. Like it was worthwhile pushing forward. And 16 years later,
yeah,
still getting paid on the 43rd yes.
Yeah. And not just that, but, you know, everything that came after that came because he did say yes, right? I mean, I could have been gone if I would have given up. But the other thing that happened is, or the other advantage I had is, for, you know, 10 years or so, we witnessed the lifestyle of two multimillionaire distributors in our neighborhood. Not knowing what it was, just knowing, you know, like I said, I didn't know what New Skin was. But I remember Jeff Mack had a license plate frame that said New Skin on it, on his Jaguar. You know, I was like, okay, well, maybe he owns it. I don't know what New Skin, you know, you hear the name New Skin living this close, but I didn't know what it was. But we saw the lifestyle. We saw that deal, you know, the freedom deal where they had not only the money that they needed, but the time as well. And it seemed like they could do what they want when they wanted. So that kind of helps you, too, when you're going through the tough stuff. And they had told us, you know, both families had told us before, it's hard. It may be the hardest thing you ever do. So, you know, we were ready for something hard. Didn't mean it was not discouraging and we didn't want to give up along the way, because that happens to everyone.
Yeah.
But that was an advantage that we have, having two of those multi-million and $1 million earners in our neighborhood.
Two
now
questions that's raised. Who was the other owner or the other distributor?
The family name is Shiranian. Most people probably don't know.
Oh.
Which is another beautiful thing, right?
Yeah.
It's another beautiful thing because, you know, they worked the business for a period of time and positioned themselves, I think, with Japan. I'm not even sure. And that's good. They're done. You know, I mean, and that's something you can do. You got the freedom to do that if you want.
Yeah, I think there's, as I'm exploring this whole world of $1 million circle earners, it's becoming apparent that there are just way too many to interview. there's a whole world of people that we've never heard the names of, that we don't see, and that have put in the work, and then, you know, they've earned the right to go and live their life on whatever terms they want. And I think that's an incredible thing, that pathway to success is already there for us.
Well, there's 1,400, so it would take a while to interview 1,400.
Exactly. I think I think I'm over the 20 mark now, and so I've got a little while to go with this. There was another question that came up from what you just spoke about, is that both those leaders said to you that it would be hard. It would be something really challenging to do, like to get this up and running. Do you feel like that's a really important thing to pre-frame new people coming into the business?
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't think you want to, you know, kill people in the opportunity presentation, right? And tell them how it's going to be so hard, and you know, it's terribly hard and everything. You kind of want to massage that a little bit, but I think at the right point, definitely, people need to understand. And you know, the cool thing is that anyone who's in the million-dollar circle has gone through a level of pain or the bridge of tears or whatever you want to call it. So you can, you know, you can feel what they're feeling, you know. So when they're going through something, and we see this all the time, right, when they're going through something tough, you know, we feel for them, and we have sympathy and everything else, but we also can empathize with them because we've been through it. We've been there. Almost everything that they're going to go through, we've been through it a bunch of times, like hundreds probably, you know. And I think it is important that they know that. They're going to know it eventually anyway. I mean, we say stuff in opportunity presentations sometimes like, you know, it could be the hardest thing you ever do, but it's going to be the most rewarding thing you ever do as well. Sometimes I've heard people in opportunity meetings just beat the thing to death, and people are like, why would I want to do that? It's so terribly hard. So you gotta kind of massage it, I think.
Yeah, that's a good point, a good way of describing it. Massage it in rather than definitely mention it. And I think people also, they hear, or people have a tendency to hear what they want to hear, even if you are saying, look, this is going to be tough. There's still an optimistic side of, I'm like, yeah, for you, but not for me. And people discover
they're
that.
They're like, yeah, it's going to be tough. Yeah, okay, it'll be tough. Yeah,
sure thing. Your story of the 42 no's, it reminds me of something that Eileen Williams said, and she was saying that she used to not enjoy sharing her story. You know, people would be like, oh, tell us how you were a Lapis for 12 years and all that it was associated with pain. And then she realized that it's actually a gift, because when she's got people in her team now who are, you know, Ruby in 3 months and they're complaining that it's happening too slow or something like that, she's got this powerful story that she can share. It's like, well, I was a Lapis for 12 years and it becomes a valuable thing. Do you feel like that's what's happened with your story of persistence with the nose?
Totally. Yeah. And you know, not just my team, but lots of teams use my story because of that. You know, I mean, when people are like, you know, I talked to 3 people, they all said no, you know, it's like, well, remember what Leaf said, you know, because sometimes it is just that, like you say, people are optimistic and they're like, well, if there's no way it could take that long for me. And honestly, with social media, well, you can talk to a lot more people on a daily basis, right? So you can get a lot more no's, but you get a lot more yeses faster as well. So maybe the thing has changed a bit. But, you know, you when we talk about getting the yes, maybe the social media is still a little bit of a filter to find your leaders. You know, your real yeses, the ones that are going to go out and really hit it hard. And definitely – That's been a benefit to have been through that, and you know, to have team members that use my story and people throughout New Skin that use my story, because it helps them with their people who may be struggling at some point. Because we all do that, right? We all, even after being in the business for 16 years, you can have bad days for sure.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the scrolls that Og Mandino, right, where he says, just keep walking. You know, just keep walking through the desert, you'll find the green grass at the end of it, you know, and that always happens too, right? No matter how many bad days you have, you're going to have a good day if you don't quit.
Yeah.
You know, the business is just too good, especially now. The business is just too good. So you just got to keep putting in the time.
Og Mandino, he is a phenomenal author. He was a phenomenal author. Are there any other books that you use with your team that you highly recommend for people?
You know, I've read The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. You know, I'm not like a monthly book guy.
Right.
And I felt kind of bad about that until I heard Nathan Rick said he wasn't either. So then I thought, okay, Maybe I'm not that abnormal, you know.
I think it's more important the application of those books than the reading of them. Because I read plenty of books, but it's the application that is the sticking point.
So I like the compound effect. And I lived on the scrolls for quite a while when I was in those early days. And maybe even in other cities, I spent a year back and forth from Houston and other things like that. In my rental cars, I would always have the CD of Og Mandino playing, and those kind of kept me going throughout.
I wanted to ask you about Cheryl, your wife. She didn't start the business with you. She was more looking after the kids in the early days, but she's working the business today with you. I wanted to ask questions around working with a partner and what that's like, and if you have any advice for people.
Yeah. You can't force your spouse to do the business, and you can't force your spouse to do the business the way you want her to do it or him to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that Cheryl, throughout the 16 years, has tried her go at it a few times, but we had... Until 2 years ago, we had kids in the home. 2 years ago, our last son went to college, and we're empty nesters. And she's 51, I'm 54. But along the way, she would try out the business a little bit, but she was very apprehensive, and I was kind of very domineering maybe, thinking, hey, I've done this for this long. You need to listen to me and do it this way, this way, and this way. And every time I would try to correct her, it would just create this huge wedge between. I'm being very frank and honest with you here, but I think that's what people need to hear, because this is how it was. You know, I would always, you know, well, you're a woman, you can do it this way, and you know, you can talk to this person and that, and try to be telling her how to do it. And every time I would do that, it would just make her want to do the business less. And so finally, I realized that, you know, if she's going to do it, she's going to do it on her own terms when she wants to do it. And I'm not counting on her doing anything. And that's kind of what people have to do, in my opinion. That's what people have to do, and take anything that comes from a spouse as, okay, welcome addition to what all the work you're doing kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now that she is doing it her way, and still we do the business differently. Okay, I'm very much go right to people with, you know, on social media, but with messages to them and start talking about the business right away, and she'll... you know, talk a lot about product and freedom in the business and making, you know, daily, weekly money, that stuff, but doing a lot of Lumi Spa demos and things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do it very differently, but we do our account and our business is totally together. We have a whiteboard right here in my office that we meet at least every Monday morning, but usually at several mornings throughout the week, we meet and talk about the people and say what we're going to do and everything else. And we've got our logs of activity and what we're doing. And, you know, we love it. It's wonderful, because I learned through hard school, hard knocks, that I needed to back off and give her the space to find her way to do the business. And we do a team lead university here in Provo every month. And she's now one of the favorite speakers. People say, Leif, I used to love to hear you speak. You used to be my favorite. And, you know, you're always wondering when someone says, you used to be my favorite, but now they say,
yeah, you don't want to hear what comes next.
Yeah. Yeah. But that, I love to hear that. You know, that's what I've always wanted, is for her to find her way in the business. And she is, you know, it's always evolving, but, she's definitely found and finding her way. She's a great, she is in her own right. And I told her along the way, I said, you know, you're earning your stripes right now, right? You know, we've all seen the people who maybe get together or even marry someone who's already paid the price as a team leader or whatever. And you know, within the circle, people kind of have to earn their own stripes to get that respect. And so that's what Cheryl's been doing for the past couple of years, is earning her stripes. And she's excellent at the business now and does amazing trainings.
She brings such a beautiful, positive energy. I've watched a couple of the Facebook Lives with you guys, and the dynamics are great. You complement each other really well. So I appreciate you being honest then and sharing with candor the reality, because I think people need to hear what it's actually like. Because a lot of people, I mean, within my own team, I see them putting pressure on partners, and it doesn't seem to work.
It doesn't work,
yeah.
Man.
It just creates a lot of stress.
Yeah.
An unhappy environment.
Makes everything harder. And then you have a kind of like a cooling off period, you know, where you can't mention it or bring it up again for whatever long, it might be 6 months or a year or whatever.
New skin's not allowed to be spoken.
I gotta smarten up. And when she decides she wants to do something, just cheer her on and say, go for it. Do the way you want to do it. Because there's so many ways to do a new skin business, right? I mean, just look around, 1,400 millionaires, and they probably, most of them have probably done it slightly differently or completely differently than the other ones.
Yeah. Actually, this brings me to the next question that you were talking about. So you use a whiteboard and you map things out. Can you take us through, how do you keep track of people? Is it all, you put every name on the whiteboard and then you're like, all right, I need to follow up with this person? I'm asking because I'm terrible at the follow-up process. I have slips of paper floating around everywhere with people's names on it, and it doesn't seem to work. So what's your system for that?
Well, yeah, we've got a few systems. So we do have a whiteboard, and it's gotten much better with velocity now. So instead of having to track like 12 or 15 legs on a whiteboard, now you have six, you know. And you can have more, obviously, than six. But like I'm looking at mine right now, I got six boxes, and, you know, I have the main executives' names in the boxes and then the executives below them, not all their executives, but the leaders that we're trying to drive the business through and the main leaders under each of the boxes. And then we have a list for the funnel. And so that would be people who are, you know, in prospects and people we're talking with and having conversations with, and they're at some point in the funnel with the follow-up. And then we have people that have signed up, especially with social media, people who have signed up but have not been trained or upgraded yet, right? So they've got an account, but they're kind of in that zone where we're getting ready to, because we don't want anyone to not be trained and understand their goals and what they're wanting to get out of this, out of the business. We talk about, you know, there's three objectives here: make fast money, build a long-term income stream, and go on these incredible trip of a lifetime trips every 6 months or as often as you can qualify. And so we have them kind of determine, do they want to do all three of those? They just want to make fast money right now. What do they want to do? And so we need to have those conversations with them so that we know how to support them. So we've got those things, and then we've got our goals for the month as well up in the top right-hand corner. And that's kind of like our map of our business, if you will. And then we've got, you know, we use, believe it or not, we use a notebook with daily worksheets in it that show all the people that we have interactions with, all the people we have follow-up with. And it's super, super effective, actually, for me. Like, I'm just going to Columbia this Tuesday, and I've got a big team there, and so I'm going to be, you know, doing a bunch of events for them. But I'm also trying to get more of that market for myself as well and build strong, deep legs, for extra legs for me too. So I've been prospecting in Columbia from Utah for, you know, the past 6 weeks or so, because I knew I was going down there. And so I can go back and look at all the people I've talked with Columbia Ties for each day over the past 6 weeks. And for the last few days, I've just been reaching back out to all these people saying, hey, I'll be there next Wednesday. You know, let's pick a time when we get together. But the only way I know all those names is because I have them all written down on these daily sheets that are in a folder that have all my goals and everything in them. And Cheryl does a similar system her own way with that as well.
That's a really smart move. So it would be something similar to the 90-day Ruby Journal, I think it's called, or 120-day journal, something like that?
Yeah. I think it's okay. 90 here now. But, yeah, it pretty much exactly that. You know, I've just been printing out my daily calendar off my Mac and just go off of that. But it's pretty much the same thing, yeah. if you have a daily thing where you're writing down all your stuff.
Yeah, you just have that kind of one space, and you can go back to, because especially today with social media, you can talk to a lot more people than I'm guessing you could ever have a phone call with, or you could reach out to at least. And a lot of those messages can be lost as like no replies and things like that. Is that how you, when you're going, I'm really curious about this. So you're looking to build new legs in Colombia. Do you reach out to them via social media, or is it through like a referral from someone? What's the process that you go through for looking for those new contacts?
Yes and yes, whatever it is, get the word out. Like I just posted something about Colombia on my Facebook and Instagram, and I've got people, I had a guy just say, hey, what is this and how do I get involved? You know, just from the pictures I put up there. Now, we'll see what happens with that, you know, but it's a lot of messaging, what I do, you know, a lot of posting. So I believe the Facebook and the Instagram is kind of like the profile that people are going to go check out when you send them a message. Certainly people can check it out too. And a number of people will be the influencers, but not every Nu Skin distributor is going to be a social influencer, right? So, a lot of what happens with your Facebook profile is what people are going to see when they go to check you out. You know, if you send someone a friend request or a message, what's the first thing you do if you get that? You go to their profile.
Yeah, you stalk them.
You stalk them, right? So you go there, and is the profile intriguing? You know, hey, this white guy from Utah is asking me about business in Colombia. You know, who is this guy, right? So they go to the profile and check it out, and they see, you know, there's some business stuff on there. They see stuff from Cheryl. They see things from our grandkids and our kids, you know, and some of them respond, some of them don't, and then we start a conversation. On a daily basis is what we call interactions, right? So I don't track messages, how many messages I would send to someone or, you know, anything like that. It doesn't matter how many messages you send out to people. What matters is the interactions. What is a two-way conversation or two-way interaction that you have with people? And, you know, we think you should be having, if you're building, we think you should be having 5 to 10, at least of those a day. And then, you know, and then that will lead to your funnel, which will lead to people signing up, which will lead to duplication and a duplication model and executives.
I like this because I feel like that details or highlights one of the greatest benefits of social media, that's whether you're selling product on social media or not, it has become the best business card that we could have ever hoped for. I mean, it tells so much more than our name on a piece of paper.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It is. And that's why frankly, it's not in my nature to be boastful or anything like that. You know, I'm perfectly happy with no one knowing a thing about me and just living my life. And so that's for someone with my personality, you know, to post daily is like, it's a chore, you know? And other people, they're like, no, I post like 20 times a day because they just love it. You know, well, you know, people are different, but you know, when it's for your business, you better make sure you're posting and staying active enough that when people go to check you out, they see, you know, you're active. They don't see, you know, like some guys, you see the happy birthday thing on their post, like from the last 3 years, and that's the only post that they have on their Facebook. You know, maybe they're not that active.
That's actually, that's a perfect example. I just, yesterday was going through someone's profile. I was like, and there was a happy birthday there from, I think it was 2016 or something. I thought, well, they're not that active. But just shift gears here for a moment. And we were talking before we hit the record button about some of your team in Latin America. Now, you've got an amazing team. I mean, I still call them young. They are still young. I mean, they've got to be like one of the youngest leaders in Nu Skin, at least when they started. From Colombia, right?
Yeah, the Saavedras, Carolina and David Saavedra.
Right.
Yeah.
So you
and they're part of Rudy and Viviana Hoffman's team.
Right. They're the guys I wanted to chat about. So like they've got an amazing organization. I've got two questions around this really. First one is, how do you find leaders like that? And the second one is, how do you deal with the the heartache that comes from things that are beyond your control happening. If you can just take us through that.
Well, you know, how you find good leaders, it comes from, you know, knowing people and networking, basically, right? And then the timing has to be just right. These guys were looking for another opportunity. They were with another company. They were looking for another opportunity. There was a chance that Nu Skin was going to open in Venezuela. That was going back maybe 12 years or so. And, you know, so it was a lot of timing, a little bit of luck, and then a lot of hard work. We worked for a year and a half in Venezuela before Nu Skin even opened. When we started working the market, we thought they were going to open in 3 months. So, you know, take another 16 months with no product in country except for what you could kind of, you know, get in there through whatever way and, you know, try to keep people excited and motivated and everything else. Anyone who's participated in country openings, they're a little cleaner now than they used to be. They used to be a little more wild, wild west. Now they're a little cleaner. But, you know, there are people in every country that when they get a sniff of the country's going to open and they got some leaders, they'll start investing the time and money to position for that. And so that comes with its own set of challenges and heartaches and everything else. When you see people, you know, if people peak too early in a country opening, that can be devastating, right? Because they're all ready to go, and then you find out it's not going to open for another 12 months. You're going to lose people for sure.
Yeah.
And then Venezuela built up to be an amazing country, really, for Nu Skin. I mean, it was selling significant volume on a monthly basis in that market. And, you know, like you say, things outside of anyone's control happened with the government and basically the dictator taking over and Nu Skin not being able to get its investment back out of the country in dollars and eventually had to close the market. And to see, you know, what happened to, you know, thousands and thousands of people. I mean, the first Team Leaf Platinum, four-star Team Leaf Platinum, was in Venezuela, and many Blue Diamonds, many Team Elites from many different teams. It was a great market. And then, you know, the only logical thing for Nu Skin to do, actually Nu Skin stayed in the market for a lot longer than many companies did, hoping for something to happen, hoping for something to change. Nu Skin is such a loyal company that way. They even did a success trip because Venezuelans couldn't get out of the country and into some of the regional success trips. So they did a cruise just for the Venezuelan leaders who had qualified for the success trip. I mean, they just went above and beyond, but at a point they had to pull out. And so then that can be devastating, you know, for these people who have had the taste of it and had seen their dreams, you know, being able to go to places and have that freedom that they had, and then see it all kind of being taken away and kind of a feeling of desperation in some cases. You know, many people got out of the country, but still, you know, trying to rebuild everything in another country is not the easiest thing to go through in the world either. You know, that's the thing when we talk about, oh, it was so hard that you had to talk to 42 people. Well, that's nothing compared to what, you know, some people have to do to build their Nu Skin businesses or have their Nu Skin businesses ripped away from them like they were in the case of Venezuela. So it's hard. It's still hard to look back at that, but you know, you just strap up your boots and keep working because, you know, the fact is Nu Skin is going to triple in size again, triple or quadruple in size in the next 5 to 7 years. And in Latin America, for example, you know, they did 50 million last year. They're going to do 100 million this year. This is the first time in my 16 years with the company that I've seen Latin America double in size in a 12-month period. Most of that's coming out of Argentina. Well, great. You know, it's good for the whole market. And so when you look at the positives and what's going to happen. Good thing is with Pharmanex and Nu Skin, we all have good health. We can keep working and build up what we need and however much we want to build up.
Thank you so much for sharing about that. I think it puts a lot of things into perspective because here in Australia, we've got a very I feel it's one of the disadvantages of this market is that we're very complacent because we have everything really good here. we don't have any fear that that, you know, a dictator would take over and government change and circumstances like that happening. And so we tend to, I feel, get a little bit soft and take it a little easy and complain about things that don't need to be complained about when there's real problems. I mean, Argentina is a perfect example of that. They had periods where, you know, products couldn't get into the country, and yet they still did business. It was fascinating for me.
It is fascinating. And the thing that the leaders, which there's, I've done some work in Argentina, the tremendous leaders in Argentina, what they've been so great at is selling the vision and the dream and making sure people will do whatever it takes to achieve their goals and achieve their freedom. And, you know, a funny thing is, Argentina got a new president a couple of years ago. They were headed down a similar path. I don't know if they would have got to the Venezuela state. I don't believe they would have, but they were heading down a similar path and actually modeling certain things after what people had done, what the government had done in Venezuela. Then they got a new president and switched everything around. That's when they were able to get products in, and that's when everything changed. Some of the top leaders in Argentina were looking at, you know, they were a month away from moving to Chile just to be able to continue doing the business. So, you know, things are just not in your control. The cool thing about Nu Skin is we can diversify, right? You know,
yeah.
So like Shell's focused in the United States, I'm focused in Latin America. So our business, you know, is diversified just by definition there. You know, you can build in as many countries as you want so that you're not totally wiped out. You know, we weren't wiped out by Venezuela, right? We had diversification in our legs and in our business. You can do that. We're in 54 countries, and, you know, we will be in more. So people say, yeah, Sometimes you need multiple income streams, and I say, well, yeah, but, you know, each leg is a different income stream depending on where you're building with Nu Skin.
That's such a good point. I've never actually looked at it that way before. Because there is the danger of the multiple income streams is a wise move once you have a very solid income stream to invest and diversify from. But if you look at Nu Skin, you can certainly say that different legs are multiple income streams, especially in your instance where it's around the world.
Yeah. Our U.S. team is completely different than our Latin business. And so it's great that Cheryl and I are working together. It's both of our own businesses. But we can work not only differently, but in different, completely different locations and diversify that way too. And really anyone can do that.
I'm curious how do you navigate the potentially dangerous waters or choppy waters of cross-cultural communication, many different nationalities and different cultures all working under the one banner. You have different approaches with each one. Is it trial and error? How do you go about that?
You know, Jeff Mack kind of taught me this, and I kind of believe it too. It's like, as much as there's so much different in culture, there's so much similarity in the way we do the business and the personalities and the tenacity of leaders in our industry and in our company. So, you know, it's funny, no matter where I've gone, when I started the business in Hawaii, everyone in Hawaii was saying, wait, Leif, you don't understand. Hawaii's different. It's an island. You know, it's got this. Okay, yeah, I get it. Okay, Leif, we go to Venezuela. Okay, Leif, you don't understand. It's different. Venezuela's different. You know, we do it this way. We do it this way. We do this and this. Okay, great. All right. Chile's so different. You know, we met in Chile, right? So Chile's so different than everything else. But in the end, it's really almost the same, right? I mean, the people join our business because they're looking for opportunity. They join our business because they're looking for freedom. In order for them to be successful in our business, they're going to have to pay the price. They're going to have to be focused and consistent in their promotion and recruiting of the opportunity. It's almost always the same thing. And so, you know, we're courteous and we, you know, shake our heads and we do take into account what kind of differences may be there. But I also understand, okay, this guy here in Argentina looks a lot like the leader over here in California, right, or in Australia, mm-hmm. or in South Africa, or in Colombia, or whatever. There's more similarities than people. Usually, I think it's almost like, you said complacency, and sometimes people can use that just as an excuse. And I'm like, nah, forget it. Nathan Ricks goes out all over the world, and he doesn't change his story where he goes. He gives the same story. Wherever he goes, it might be interpreted in a different language, but it resonates with the leaders. And, so I don't buy into that much.
That's such an important point. Focus on similarities rather than differences.
Yeah.
Leif, a couple more questions, and then we'll rock and roll. But this has been great. I'm just curious, you mentioned something at the very beginning around when you were looking into Nu Skin, and you also had to consider the world that you'd built up or invested 15 years into that you were potentially putting to the sidelines. That's kind of that identity that you'd built up. How did you overcome that identity? Because I feel like this is one of the biggest barriers to growing our business is the identities that we hold on to. Like, I can't be a network marketer, or I can't talk about skincare or something else. We've got these thoughts in our head. How did you deal with that?
We kind of burnt the bridges, I guess, I was kind of half in, half out at the beginning. I actually, on my way to Hawaii to work with Arthur for that week where I became executive, I went and interviewed in Salt Lake City with a software company for a sales position. And so I literally walked in a suit and interviewed for the position. And, that was where I probably would have been making about half of what I was making if I made my target quota. And then I came out to my car and in the parking lot changed into shorts and a shirt to get on a plane to go to Hawaii. And I got on the plane and I took half my bag was like, kind of like Hawaii vacation gear. And half my bag was, business casual kind of nice clothes that I would wear to meet with people when we were working the business. And I didn't know where it was going to go from there. I honestly didn't. I thought, worst case, I'll go have one last vacation before I start another job with these guys, and I had no idea. But Arthur picked me up at the airport with another guy, Jesse Rivera. We went to a restaurant. Jesse signed us. It was like the Three Amigos. By the end of the week, which is Halloween in the United States, we had 15 people signed up. Within the next month, we had 50 people signed up, and it just went from there. So I didn't really have – and then I made a decent check in those first 5 weeks. So it was kind of like I just fell into, okay, you just better run with this thing full time instead of messing around with someone who's going to pay you half of what you're worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't worry about it, I'll tell you what, probably – we had a big run at the beginning with the scanner and everything else, and then the economy was good in the U.S. and things kind of just slowed down here. Nu Skin wasn't really growing in the United States, and it was really hard to build and recruit for a period of time here. I don't even know when it was. It's kind of like all blurs together, but probably 3 or 4 years into the business, something like that, And I remember that, things were pretty tight because I was making really good money, and then I made, good money, but I hadn't still replaced my income, so things were still pretty tight with kids and everything else. And this being our only income source.
Yeah, you had a big family.
Yeah, and this was our only income source. So it had to come from our Nu Skin business. And I remember, one week where it was, like a week before payday, the 20th, and I seriously was like, I don't know how I'm going to put gas in my car, to go to my appointments. I had to figure it out. And my sister worked for a software company, and they were looking for a director of their Latin American operations, exactly what I had done before. And that was kind of an interesting point. She asked me, hey, do you want to interview for this position? And, what would those who are listening, what would you do? You don't have money to put gas in your car. You've been doing this for 4 or 5 years. What would you do? And And I talked to my wife, and I just said, no thanks, don't want to interview. So I think I burnt the bridges, and I didn't see myself ever going back. And even though there was a temptation at that one time, a little bit of temptation, the thought of just going back and doing that and getting back on that treadmill of the corporate world and doing the same thing over and over again and never really getting ahead and never really setting yourself free was not an option. And we said, no, we're just going to keep working it. And it's turned out to be the best thing we've ever done.
I admire your commitment to your dreams and to what type of life that you wanted. Because that you asked that question, what would you do? Like, what would those listening do? I think most people would go and apply for the job because it has that appearance of security. And it's an appearance. It's not necessarily the truth, but that's a tough thing to do. Did your business change once you had burnt those bridges? Or did you change? Actually, I should ask that.
Well, like I said, I think I burned the bridges right away. When I made the money in that first 5 weeks, it was like, okay, this is what we're doing. And again, I had a mentor who, incredible. Jeff Mack is incredible. And he gave me enough leash to do it my way and figure things out and everything else. But he's always been there. If I've needed something, he's always been there. And, was super helpful in a lot of the building of the business. So I always felt like I had support. I always felt like I had great support, and I almost felt like I'd be an idiot if I tried to do anything else. Honestly, I figured out that I wanted to have my own business. I didn't want to work for someone else anymore. Why would you do this and then go work for someone else? And I figured out this industry was the best deal for me because I could, I could leverage myself and, without having all the overhead and all the risk and everything else associated with having your own company, you can build a distribution channel. And then, sometimes people leave for other companies and stuff like that. And I just said, if I can't do it in this environment with this stability and growth, and growth that we were seeing then and we're seeing now and is projected for the future, if I can't do it with Nu Skin, why would I go try to do it somewhere else?
Yeah.
So it was just, it's always just kind of been, I'm in, this is what I'm doing. That's one thing that people say to us sometimes is, man, you have just been consistent. And they're right. That's one thing I can do. I can just be consistent for sure. And I can just keep plugging away. And I've seen enough to know, and we've been successful enough with income that, if you put in the work with a company like Nu Skin, especially in a growth wave like we're in right now, you're going to have success. You just got to do it.
Leif, final question. Given everything, all the experience that you've gathered up now, which a lot of it you have shared very generously, thank you for that. Given all that experience, if you were starting again today, what would you do differently, if anything?
I don't know what I'd do differently. I've learned to systemize the approach, kind of like we talked about with, tracking how many people you're talking to and who you're talking to. And I think it's important to keep maintain your posture. That's something that I've been taught and that I've learned over time. I have a certain posture now that, like I said with Cheryl, you got to earn your stripes, right? Until you earn your own stripes, it's hard to really have that posture. You kind of have to fake it a little bit or use your upline or whatever.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, it was a little more wild, wild west, with opening countries and even what we were doing, less systematized. And now I think if we just plug in and focus and be consistent and do the numbers, honestly, I believe if someone were to have these interactions, that the way we track it, interactions, if you do 10 of those a day, which is not easy, it sounds like an easy number, it's not. That's a decent amount of two-way conversations, two-way interactions on a daily basis. If you do 5 to 10 of those a day in a duplication or a system that is working in your market, I don't see how you can fail. So it's a matter of doing that and then focusing your time with the people who are willing, you know, who are showing back to you that they're willing to do what it takes, right? They're teachable. They have a huge why, and they're willing to work really hard. If you have those people, maybe that's something that I might change, you know. Maybe I've spent time wanting success for people at times, and I've just learned over the years that I can't want it for them. You know, I just got to work with those who are kind of giving me back the energy and then match their energy in the business and run, and then drive the lines and find the next one below them and the next one below them, next one below them.
Lee, on this note, thank you so much. This has been awesome. I think you have brought a lot of value for people. You continue to do that, and I hope you have an amazing trip in Colombia. I hope it's very productive for you. And for everyone who has tuned in, thank you for listening. I hope you've been taking a lot of notes, and stay tuned for next week's episode as well. Thank you so much, Lee.
Kurt, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. I appreciate the invitation. And thanks, everyone.